occurred any idea who this is for? All right, let's all grab a songbook. Good to see you this morning. Let's grab a songbook. Turn to page 29. Well, you don't need a songbook. Sorry about that. You won't turn to anything. I will. We'll sing No, Not One. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. And the last, was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we ask you at this morning, as we do every service, that you fill the preacher this morning, that's Brother Nick in here, and whoever's preaching in Children's Church out back, with your power, Lord, that when the Word of God goes out, if there's a lost person or a lost child here, Lord, that you would have them hear the gospel, that they get convicted and then decide to receive Christ today, and that would be such an opportunity and a privilege for us to be able to see somebody saved. Be with our loved ones that are sick, take care of them, and just bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are going to sing Follow On. Follow On. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the dark waters flow. Everywhere he leads me I would follow, follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. Come on, you got to be singing. Lord is near. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. I know you all didn't have to take a breath at the same time I took a breath, so you just stopped on me, so don't do that. And once in a while, Brother Block in his old age has to take a breath. So we're going to sing the last verse. Down in the valley or upon the mountaintop. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow. follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Let me give you a few announcements. Brent, before we have your announcements, you should say what to all the folks last week that brought you nachos and cheese. What did you want to say to them, Brent?
Thank you.
Good idea, Brent. That's a good one. I told Brent, we're not doing it just for you, but we are doing it because of you. Because Brent, he kept calling me saying, Brother Block, you know what I want for my birthday? And I said, Brent, I don't care what you want for your birthday. We can't celebrate your birthday because if we celebrate your birthday, we're going to have to celebrate everybody's birthday. And he called me back the next day and he said, Brother Block, did I tell you what I wanted for my birthday? And I said, Brent, I think we didn't have this conversation. I don't remember stuff very well, but I seem to remember a conversation yesterday and the day before that and the day before that and last week and the day before that. But because we love Brent and want to make sure that Brent's happy, we got nachos and cheese last week, and Brent and all the bus kids enjoyed nachos and cheese. So I don't remember what they're enjoying today. Did we raise anything Wednesday night? So they must already have stuff, so I'm not sure what they're having. But because we're in the campaign, now they always have some kind of snack or food anyway. But because of the campaign, we're trying to do special stuff. We want to have visitors and keep the kids coming. So, again, appreciate those of you that do stuff. No comments. Just a thank you is all I needed because you have too long of conversations. I get in trouble for conversations being too long already. So, but do pray for several people. We have a lot of folks that are sick. I talked to Mrs. Perry this morning, and Al, now she hasn't heard from the doctor, but she heard from, I guess, one of the nurses, and they said that he is doing better. They called the ambulance, thinking it was Friday. My days get mixed up. I think it was Friday, and the ambulance folks came out because his oxygen count had dropped into the 80s. When the ambulance folks came, they said, That is okay for COVID, because apparently with COVID you have a lower oxygen count. They don't worry about it unless it gets, he was at 88, I think, and they said they don't worry about it unless it gets down to 84. Later in the day, it went down lower, so she took him into the emergency room and they kept him. First they just put him on oxygen, and then they put him on what they called forced oxygen. It was not a ventilator. I was hoping it wasn't a ventilator, because a ventilator is a lot more serious than just having oxygen, but they put him on forced oxygen, and his count is up 96, 97, was, I mean 98, so it was good today. He was doing better last night and even better today, so continue to pray for him. We was praying for Mrs. Perry. They didn't give her back a positive COVID test, but she's not feeling well. Their daughter Deanna is already over it, but Deanna and Betty are not. We have a lot of Perrys, and so this is the other side of the Perry family, but Mrs. Perry both of them, her and Deanna, had COVID. Deanna has a lot of pre-existing conditions, so she is struggling. And when I talked, last I talked to Betty lost her voice, and she was too. So if you keep the two of them in prayer, they're still battling it. Cindy fell on Friday morning, I believe, and so was not doing very well. Had some folks, Kurt took by some food. The ladies made up some lunches after the funeral, took some stuff by. Cindy was hurting Friday, so keep them in prayer. Her and Preacher both are still not doing very well. Amber told me that morning he had eaten some oatmeal, and that was the first thing he kept down in several days. So if you'll keep Preacher and Cindy in prayer. And then don't forget to continue to pray for all the rest of the folks that are sick. I know we have other relatives and friends, but that's our immediate family. Always pray for Brother Wynn and his health. Charlie has some others up there. Brother Moss is home. I saw him, I'm thinking it was Thursday. This last week's been pretty scrambled for me, a lot of stuff going on. But him and his wife and the neighbor were sitting out front they have a little bench out front, and they were sitting out there, and he was hoping to make it here today. He's not here, but again, he was hoping he'd be up and around. Now, the doctors told him to take it easy for 6 weeks. He said at that day, and he's also sent us a letter in earlier and said thank you for all those of you that were making him and his family meals. He spent about, 8 or 10 days in the hospital. It was supposed to be just a couple days, but he had some issues, so they kept him longer. He is doing better, so keep him in prayer. Don't forget to pray for our normal folks. It was good to see that we have a princess here this morning. I don't know if she crowned herself or if Adam crowned her. If Adam crowned her, good for him. And by the way, all you husbands, that's a good thing to do. If you treat your wife like a princess, she might actually treat you like a king.
I tried not to shove her very hard. I always mess with her, but she's sometimes pretty fragile, so I just walked up and barely bumped her today because I didn't want to knock her down because she's had some rough days this week as well. So don't forget to continue to pray for Anna. Thank you for praying for the funeral. We had the viewing on Thursday night at the funeral home. Brother Bajot did the service there. And then Friday, now this is the first time I've ever seen this. Nick, you got my water? Don't take my water, Nick. They had a room about the size of the fellowship hall, and it was packed for the viewing, and they stayed for the service. There was even people standing in the back. And then we were supposed to have the viewing here 9 to 11 o'clock on Friday, and then the funeral at 11. The service started at 11. But I got here about 10 after 9, and it was already packed. Everybody was already here. And I guess some of them thought that the service started at 9. And so they was all sitting here, all quiet, which is not good for Brother Block. Brother Block doesn't do good with quiet. But I asked the family, and they said, well, I think they misunderstood. They think the service starts at 9. And then the family said, can we do the service now? And I said, we could. Problem is, all the folks that actually read the stuff and paid attention are going to get here about 10:45, and they would miss the service because some of you think I preach that long. I don't preach 2 hours, so don't give me that look. But I said, we can't really do the service now. So I just said, we got drinks and some cookies and stuff in the fellowship hall, and then some folks even left and went and got breakfast and then came back, and all of them showed back up. We had a good crowd for the funeral. I appreciate you folks being here. It's always nice to have some folks in the crowd that you know, because there's a lot of folks in the crowd that I did not know. Had a lot of lost relatives and friends there, and the family had asked me to preach on salvation, and I always try to do that anyway at a funeral. It's always nice when the family wants that as well. And then they went to the graveside, and we got over to the graveside, and I've seen folks wait to see the casket put into the ground, and usually folks don't even wait for that, but they wanted to wait for that, so they lowered the casket. Dad had bought flowers for everybody there, and they all put a flower in, threw some dirt in, and I thought we'd be leaving to come back for lunch, and I was waiting, and then they put the lid on, and then we asked Mom, are you done? She said no, she wanted to see the dirt put in, so they brought a wagon. Sometimes the dirt's right there, and you have to walk over the carpet, and the dirt's right there next to the graveside, but it wasn't. They had it in a trailer, so they bring the trailer over and dump it. Then they go get another load of dirt and bring it back over and dump it, and then they filled it in, put the shovels, leveled it all, put the flowers around. The family wanted to see, completely buried, and again, I've never seen that. I have stayed for, and they stayed out in that hot sun. That hot sun was so hot that day. They stayed out there. My service there was about 5 minutes. They stayed for another 45 minutes to an hour, and then they came back and had lunch. And the family just said for me to please relay to you folks, they appreciate all that you did for them as far as the viewing, the service, the food. We sent all the leftovers home with them. They should have enough for the next day or two. Many of you remember there was the two twins, Edward and Edgar. Then the oldest girls were the ones that I knew because they were in the youth group, and that was Erica and Bernice. And then there was two younger sisters, I believe, Jennifer and Cynthia. So all the girls and the guys said, thank you so much. And Mom and Dad, they came back in crying, thanked the ladies. So they told me to please pass on to all of you because I know many of you had a hand in that. We couldn't have had that spread with just three or four women or three or four people. That was a lot of folks that got involved. And so they said that to pass on that they really appreciate you making this really tough time at least a little bit more bearable. Don't forget to pray for the family. Again, it's after this, I can tell you from experience of having to live with a few funerals lately, it's after the family go back home and all the relatives have kind of left and you've settled into the house by yourself that you realize who you really lost. So it's really, really tough. So pray for Mom and Dad and the brothers and sisters in the days ahead. Let's see. It says, church family, there's a family in the church that's donated gingerbread, orange juice, beef stew, and cranberries. If any of those things sound like they're good to you, they'll be in the fellowship hall after church. Don't forget the stuff coming up in the near future, which means tonight, 6 o'clock, evening service. I was so thankful Nick came into town. I was working on preparing sermons for the funeral and hadn't even thought about Sunday morning. Then when Brother Milliken said, Nick's coming into town, I said, good. Maybe he can. He said he likes to preach. So I called preacher and I said, Nick's in town. Can he preach either Sunday morning or Sunday night? And then my Bluetooth's been cutting in and out. I thought he said something, and I couldn't tell, so I pulled over and stopped, put the phone in my ear, and he said, see if he wants to preach both services. So we've got Nick for this morning and tonight. He's preaching both services. Now, knowing Nick, he could just preach this morning and carry on to the evening service. You don't even get to go home and eat lunch. So, because Nick is like me, Nick can preach 5 minutes or 5 hours. And so I'm just joking. He's going to be speaking for us this morning and then speaking for us again tonight at 6 o'clock. Then Wednesday night, prayer and Bible study at 7:30, soul winning at 6:45. There is no youth activity because we'll be going to Texas Baptist for the youth conference this Friday. I don't know the time that they start, so I'll find that out this afternoon and announce that tonight. But everybody is invited to go to Texas Baptist. That is this Friday and Saturday. We'll have Friday evening service there and then Saturday morning. And they're also going to have some dodgeball competition and things. So that will be Saturday morning. Brother Jeff Owens is going to be speaking for that, and anyone that can go would really enjoy that. Then we also have the meeting coming up in the future with Brother Coral. He'll be here on a Sunday, which is October the 3rd, through a Wednesday, which is October the 6th. He'll be speaking to us twice on Sunday, actually three times on Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings. And so make your plans for that. Again, don't forget to keep those things in prayer, and again, be faithful to the services. Then bus visitation, 9:30 on Saturday, so when it's 10:45, back in your places next Sunday morning for Sunday school and church. Let's all stand back up. We're going to sing Glory to His Name, and then we'll have the offering.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
The ushers are going to come down for the offering. Okay, there we go. Sorry, just had to add that extra verse for the fellas. One of you guys coming to pray, or there's Brother Hauser.
I'm usually looking for Charlie to come down. But anyway, I'm following Jesus, not man. Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this precious time that we have the opportunity to give back what You have given us, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver. And, Lord, if there's one lost here this morning, I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost of God will come upon them and they get saved, Lord. We love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
And Brother Wallace, we will use you during the invitation. I was just going to have them play, but we'll have you come up and lead the... It's just as I am, so... Not for you folks, for him. All right, let's all... Well, I guess, again, I'm so used to you turning the pages, you're not going to turn the page. We're going to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of the Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, a sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean, in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread his praise from shore to shore. How he loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. How he watches o'er his loved ones, died to call them all his own. How for them he intercedeth, watcheth o'er them from the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing. 'Tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. 'Tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory. For it lifts me up to thee.
Thank you, Kitty. When I found out Nick was going to be in town, we always like it when our missionaries are in town. We don't get to hear from missionaries all that often. Brother Wynn hasn't been up for a while. I mean, his kids and his workers have been up here, but we haven't got to hear him for a while. So when I found out Nick was coming in town, my first thought was, let's get him to preach. So I always appreciate the fact that Nick is willing to. For those of you that have not been in the ministry, sometimes we actually go to a church. We hope nobody recognizes us. We hope nobody knows who we are. So we can just go to church, be there for a little bit, and then slip out. My wife and I used to do that when we was on vacation. Sometimes we just go to a little church over on the Old Pearsall Road, or we'd go to Brother Mike Gilbert's, but someplace where we could just, and I can tell you, that's completely different than a normal day, because a normal day after church, before church you got stuff to do, after church you got stuff to do. On that day, we got to experience what you get to experience most of the time, and as soon as church is over, you get to go home, and you get home and think, wow, we got a whole afternoon. I mean, you know, we can eat, watch TV, and take a nap. I mean, it's crazy. So, again, I always appreciate Brother Nick coming. Patty was one of the first students that my first year here. I think he was here my first year, right? It was you and Andrew and Dina Cadwell. And she didn't start the year. It was during that time that, again, sometimes God uses weird stuff to get people into church. But I believe Pam got attacked on the way home from school one day. Someone hit her in the back with a sickle, one of those weed hook type of things. And then they, because they'd already heard about our school, had been coming to church a short time, and Mom and Dad decided to put the kids in school. Patty was a senior at John Jay. And I can tell you she gave up a senior trip going to what, Europe? France. They were going to go to France. Say, where'd she go? She went to Lakey, Texas. That's where she went. At that time, the Schieffer Bynes had some property up there, so we went up and stayed in their little cabin. No indoor toilets. The only outdoor toilet we had was an outhouse with a bucket. The shower was. They had a place where the water ran. They put a piece of the stuff like you put around the gutter. They had a piece of gutter there, so the water came down the gutter, and then it came shot over. There was a little place where there was kind of like a waterfall. The water came over, and you stood underneath that little waterfall from the water coming out of that gutter, and that's how you took your shower. So, Patty, I mean, I'm sure it was kind of like France, but I'm not sure. But she made some decisions that year that changed her life. And Mom and Dad did, too, without realizing at the time. So sometimes you don't know that the decision you make today will change the rest of your life, because it did. And then during that year, she probably gets tired of me saying this, but I appreciate the fact that she made this decision. And during the school year, I found out that she was a big Duran Duran fan. Now, when I say a big fan, she had all the pictures up all over her room, and apparently she was, and we have a rule, if you're going to go to the school, you can't listen to rock music, because it's pretty hard for us to put in good stuff during the day, and you put a bunch of bad stuff in at night. We don't really accomplish anything. We get nowhere. And so I went to her, and I said, I hear you're a big Duran Duran fan. At that time, I think, who was it you was going to marry? It was the drummer. Usually it's weird. I can't remember my name yesterday, but I can remember Patty's decision. Because I went to Patty and I said, found out you have some Duran Duran stuff and you like to listen to rock music. She said, yes, I do. I said, you need to make a decision and you need to make it today. I think I gave her 24 hours. I said, you need to come in tomorrow and let me know whether you want to keep going to Liberty Christian Academy or you want to go that direction. And I'm so thankful. You say, what direction did she choose? She chose Duran Duran, of course. No, I'm just joking. She came in the next day and she said, they're all down off the wall and I want to live for the Lord. We only had her for a few short months here. She stayed at Liberty Christian Academy and then went from here to Oklahoma Baptist College, where she met this guy. Mom and Dad were so glad that she found a godly man to marry. And again, I can tell you, how many years y'all been married now? 25. They've been on the field 21, been married 25. Now, for those of us old people, that they're just babies. But for most of you out here, that's still a long time. But I appreciate their faithfulness on the field. They've been down in Mexico City for the 21 years, getting people saved, lives being changed. I always appreciate Nick was also in the military. I appreciate his service. He just left military service, went into the Lord's service, and so he's been a soldier for a long time. He's going to come and preach to us this morning. So grab your Bible, pay attention, and you'll enjoy yourself. And if you're lost this morning, pay attention, because you'll get a chance to get saved at the end of the service.
Man, thank you, Brother Klein. Thank you. What a blessing to be here. And that was a very good introduction there, Brother Block, and what a blessing, God's faithfulness. Actually, it was the bus route from Liberty Baptist Church. Brother and Mrs. Price were running the route there and picked up Patty's brother and sister on the route, and eventually the whole family ended up getting saved. What a blessing, what a testimony, and God's good. We're going to be here for a few weeks. I'm going to be getting treatments at the VA hospital. War has its casualties and it has its consequences, and so I'm going to be getting some therapy there at the some treatments at the VA hospital. So we'll be here. We're kind of on a medical furlough, and God's good. Amen. He's good. And so we'll be around to pester y'all for a little bit. Amen. And it's always good to be here, be home. And what a blessing. God did bring us through a lot to get here, and we could see his hand in everything. We have someone that's covering our place there in Mexico City. And the Lord's good to us that way. And just keep praying. Last Saturday, I was talking to one of our teenagers. Actually, he's not a teenager anymore. He's 21 years old now. And he told me during camp, we just got done with camp last week. And so the week before was senior camp, and he was there. And he goes to the universities, 2 years in study, and then the university there in Mexico. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, every message God just spoke to my heart that I need to be serving him and full time. And I said, well, let's get you started. Let's get you prepared to do that. And so he's going to be going to Bible college, going from the university and going to Bible college. And he's doing it with gladness in his heart. No regrets or anything like that. And God's good. We had four of our teenagers surrender to full-time service. And so God's good, amen, and God's working. And I believe we're getting close to the finish line. I don't know about you all watching the Olympics and how these people, these runners, they're not slowing down when they get to the finish line. They're speeding up. And they're giving it all they have. And some of them literally passing out at the finish line. And in all that heat there in Japan or whatever it is, Christians, that's what we need to do. We need to be running faster. Amen. I want to be a blessing to you this morning. And normally I can preach for 2 hours, like Brother Block says. Amen. And but we're going to be putting it in the time frame that's allowed. And so just almost, let's go to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15 in our Bibles. And verse number 11, we'll start there. We want to thank everyone for your prayers. And please be praying for me, that all these treatments and everything will help me, and that we can go back to Mexico as soon as possible. If you would, stand with me. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. The Bible says here, Luke 15, 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger had gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet in a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry and with my friends. But as soon as his son was come, this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your blessings this morning. Please meet with us in a very special way. Lord, you know our needs coming here today. You know the steps that we need to take. You know the decisions that we need to make. You know what's in front of us this week. And you know, Lord, our very specific needs, each one of us. In a very special way, I pray that you'd use me today to be a blessing to each person that came. And Lord, that we'll leave here saying that you had spoke to our hearts. Please use me this morning, Lord, to be a blessing to everyone here and those that are watching from home. Help me to be a blessing to them as well. But Lord, I can do nothing. You have to do this. We love you and thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The definition of a prodigal. I have as a message here the name or the title of this message, The Story of Two Prodigals. This passage of Scripture has been preached many, many times, many different ways, many different applications. And the Lord worked on my heart and showed me something here. And I hope to be a blessing to each and every one of you that are here today. prodigal. What does that word mean? One who wastes money or their living with riotous living, extravagant living, selfish, self-centered living, wasteful living is basically the definition of a prodigal. The first prodigal here is obviously a bad prodigal, wasting his money. It's very obvious that this young man, he was like a racehorse in the chute, ready to go toward whatever he wanted to do to satisfy himself. That's what he went running to. And wasting his money on parties, clothes, friends, alcohol, and much more. Everything he wanted, everything for himself, and you know he was probably a pretty popular guy while he still had the money. And it's not hard to identify this person. It's not hard to identify the bad prodigal, and we can see around us people that may be a bad prodigal in our lives that we know, man, they're just wasting away their lives. But the older son, now this one is the harder one to identify because he's the good prodigal. And because of all the good things that he did, we'll name him the good prodigal. But in his own mind, he was the good prodigal. Are you with me? In his own mind. And but the Bible says, God says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. But the devil is a master deceiver. He's a master deceiver. And he'll get us to think that we're the good ones because of all the good that we do. And, I don't drink and I don't smoke. Oh, no, 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 you know. And we'll think that we're the good Christian. And, but I don't want us to be duped by the devil. I don't want anybody to be duped by the devil because he'll keep a good prodigal son on that road and will never really live for God in their lives. But we'll see that here in just a little bit. Because of all the good things that this prodigal has done, and we'll call him the good prodigal. But we are going to find out that he did everything really that was good for himself, not for his father. Proverbs chapter number 3. Let's get started here in Proverbs chapter number 3. The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter number 3, we're going to see a little bit of the bad prodigal, but we're also going to see a lot of the good prodigal here this morning and try to be a blessing. Proverbs 3:7, the Bible says here, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The Bible says also in Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 12, the Bible says, chapter number 30, verse number 12, here the Bible says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. The Bible says also in Jeremiah 17, let's go over here to Jeremiah chapter number 17 and verse number 9. The Bible says here about our heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Bible says, God says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We can be fooled by our own hearts. And I'm going to show you that this older son was fooled by his own heart. And Isaiah 64, the Bible says here, Isaiah 64, verse number 6, the Bible says here, but we are all as as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. All of our righteousness, all the good that we can do before the eyes of man, all the good that we can do in front of other people, all the good that we can do coming to church, reading our Bibles, walking away from sin, working on a bus route, teaching a Sunday school class, reading our Bibles, giving our tithes and offerings, all that we can do. God says it's as filthy rags. Our righteousness, the best that we can do, is as filthy rags. Let me tell you this. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He went to the cross, a sinless man, to die for the guilty. You and I, we're the guilty ones in this world. One of the famous quotes of Brother Fisk, I've got him for the heroes of the faith. No one said to me that they had to be gone already. He's with us, and I think there's no more appropriate to honor a man who's a man of God, a hero of the faith, while they're still living. Amen. And I know we're honoring these men and all that, but he said about soul winning. He said, soul winning is one beggar telling another beggar where he can get bread. Amen. And let me tell you this, it's the righteousness of Jesus that saves us. Amen. When the blood is applied to you and I's life, God doesn't see us as our filthiness and all that. He sees the righteousness of His Son in our lives. Let me tell you this, we are as filthy rags. Our righteousness, the best that we can do, we are nobody. The Bible says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. You know who does good? It's God that does good. You know who does good? It's Jesus that does good. You know what? If something good happens to you and me, it's only because of the grace of God. It's only because of His mercy over our lives. You and I, we need to realize that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says here in verse number, in Isaiah chapter number 64 and verse number 6, but we are all as unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. That's what God says about us. The younger son started off wrong in his life, but he finished right. He started off wrong. I try to tell our people there in Mexico, I try to tell other people that it doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. You know, I'm watching these Olympics. You can see some of these people. They start off like a blaze. And then pretty soon, they just start fading back and back and back and back. But you see someone who's just steady, steady running. And they end in the gold medal because they were just steady and faithful. It matters how you finish. The younger son, he started off wrong. He did wrong. Many of you, maybe you started your life in the wrong direction. Maybe you've made some mistakes. And maybe your beginning hasn't been so good. But let me say this, it matters much more how you finish. Let God be the finisher for you. Let Him take control of your life. Let Him be the guide in your life. Thank the Lord for those who come to themselves, like this young man did. He came to himself, but he had to go to the bottom of the pit to get there. He had to get down to the bottom of the barrel to realize. But you know what? Even though you have been to the bottom of the barrel, you know what's nice about being at the bottom? It's solid at the bottom, and you can just stand up again. Amen? When you and I, and when we mess up, we get to the bottom of the barrel, it's not over because, amen, as long as we have breath within us, we have a choice to serve God and to put everything in His hands and let Him take control of everything of our lives. look what it says here in Luke chapter number 15. The Bible says here, Luke chapter number 15, this is the same chapter that we've been in here for the text of this verse, but look at this, what it says here, Luke 15, verse number 7. The Bible says here, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 90 and 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let me say this, there's a party in heaven when one sinner, there's excitement in church when one sinner comes and kneels and gets things right with God. Amen. Amen. Getting your heart right with God, making things right with God and with others. There is great joy and freedom and love. Everyone gets excited. Amen. Except for the good prodigal. He gets mad. He's angry. A few observations about the older son. A few observations. The good prodigal. I believe that a lot of Christians are much like this good prodigal today. In the day that we're living. Look at Luke 15, 25. The Bible says here. The Bible says, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Then verse number 28, the Bible says, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. His father had to go out to him and ask him to come in. It's a sad day when that happens. I believe that a lot of Christians are in the same shoes as this good prodigal. But let me say this, Satan is a master deceiver. Look what it says here in Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 3. The Bible says here, and cast him into the... Okay, let's start with verse number 2. The Bible says here, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him in there a thousand years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, and he that he should deceive the nations no more. Are you seeing what he says here? That he should deceive the nations no more. That's what his job is. That's what he wants, is to deceive every one of us. Dupe us into thinking that we're so good and wonderful and all that. But God says our filthiness is as our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's none that doeth good, no, not one, till the thousand years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And verse number 7, we'll just jump down here. The Bible says here, and when the thousand years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And what's the first thing he does when he gets out? And he shall go out and deceive the nations. He's a deceiver. He's a master deceiver. The Bible says in verse number 10 here, and the devil that deceived them, He's the master deceiver, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Oh, he's got his time coming. Where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. But let me say this, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, if the blood of Jesus is not applied to your life, you will spend eternity in a lake of fire. And the same punishment. I just want to let you know that hell was created for Satan and his angels. But those that do not have Jesus in their heart will spend eternity in a lake of fire. You will be have the same punishment as the devil, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, Satan is a tremendous, tremendous deceiver to make us think that we're so good. Listen, he was a faithful worker. The Bible says that he was coming out of the field, that he obeyed all the commandments. He was a good son to obey. But what he did for the Father had strings attached to it. He expected something in return for his effort. He didn't serve his Father with joy and gladness and love. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 6. The Bible says here, Ephesians 6, verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Actually, he was serving himself. He was obeying all the rules. He was working, but it was all for his own personal benefit and gratitude. That one day he would be rewarded according to his standard. Actually, and he was giving to get, serving to get what he thought he deserved. Let me say this, and I've told missionaries and the man who's taken our church while we're gone, he and his wife are going to be missionaries in Haiti. And after they're done serving at our church, when we get back, they're going to start deputation. And we told them that when you go on deputation, don't expect anything. You go to a church, don't expect a love offering. Don't expect anything when you go there. You know, don't go there with the expectation that they're going to treat you good and they're going to treat you nice. Go there expecting nothing. That way, when you get something, you're very excited. Let me say this. Jesus said, hey, following him he said that the Son of Man hath not a place to rest his head. The birds have nests, and I'm trying to think of what it says in Spanish there, but the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to rest his head. What he's saying is, you follow me, there's nothing in it for you. You know what? We shouldn't have any expectations. But this older son, he had a lot of expectations. Look what it says here in Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 22. The Bible says here, 3:22, the Bible says in Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Knowing that of God ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If we serve ourselves, there's no reward. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Here it says, someone who serves God with the expectation that God owes you is not serving God. You're serving yourself. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. The Bible says here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And I believe this is why so many people, so many Christians today are bitter about church. They're bitter about God. They're bitter about the things of God, because they had false expectations of what God was owed them. Are you with me? For going to church. I go to church. This should not have happened to me. A preacher took an evangelist with him to visit a a lady who stopped coming to church. She was so faithful to come to church. She sang in the choir. She was very active in church. And then just all of a sudden stopped coming. Pastor would drive by, go by the house and see, what's going on? Why have you stopped? Are you sick or something? No. It's just that, just little excuses here and there, things popping up. Why can't you go to church? Why she couldn't go to church? So he decided, I'm going to take the evangelist out there with me and see if maybe she will tell him what's going on in her life. She's missed church so many times and hasn't come. So the evangelist said, ma'am, your pastor's very concerned about you. You were so faithful in church, serving and just being so involved in church and everything. And then all of a sudden, you just stopped coming. What happened? And she said to the evangelist, well, you want to know what? I prayed that my cat wouldn't die. And that cat died. I just knew God, with my faithfulness, was going to save that cat. Let me say this. God doesn't owe us anything. We've got to learn to accept His will. Sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not. But let me say this. God doesn't owe us anything. Look what the Bible says here. As a matter of fact, we owe Him. We are debtors. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what? We are debtors. We were bought with a price. You try to come up with all the money in the world to try to buy your way into heaven. You can't do it. I can't do it. But Jesus did it. Amen? And if it wasn't for Him, some Christians, they think, man, if it wasn't for me, you know, that church would be like, what? We think we're something. The Bible says not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It's just a miracle. You know what? The disciples, when they came back and they were talking about, man, we were casting out devils. We were doing this and we were doing that and we were doing this. And Jesus said unto them, well, yeah, you think that's something? I watched Satan fall out of heaven like a lightning bolt. Just be glad your name is written in the book of life. That's how we should be. Just be glad your name is written in the book of life. And if your name isn't written in the book of life, you better get it in there. Amen. And the only way you're going to get your name in there is by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's go on. I can preach all day. I'll be preaching tonight, right? I'll give you the second point tonight to this message, all right? They're trying to gain God's favor. The good prodigal is trying to gain God's favor by their works. Right. It didn't work out so well for Cain, did it? Mm-hmm. Didn't work out for the Pharisees either. It's not going to work out for you either. Man. That's why there are a lot of bitter and hurt Christians today, because they have a false expectation that God was supposed to do something for them. Yeah. There's no promise from God that we're not going to have a rough life here on earth. There's no promise that we're not going to have heartache and difficult times. Amen. But He does promise this. He that hath the Son hath life. Amen. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. He wasn't concerned with the spiritual condition of others. As a matter of fact, he's very judgmental. And he was a know-it-all. He knew all about the riotous living. He knew about how his brother spent all that money and knew all those kind of things about him. But he was judgmental towards his brother. When he should have, if he loved his father, if he loved the Lord, he would have been waiting with his father. He would have been out there praying that my brother comes back, that he gets right. And he would have been the one suggesting, let's kill the fatted calf. We get so duped. Satan is a deceiver. Our hearts are a big deceiver too. And we think that we're doing good, we do right, And God owes us something because of that, with an expectation. But let me say this, serving our own selves and our own self-interest, that's not going to work. You see, we were bought with a price. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. But when we get to thinking more highly than we ought to think of ourselves, pride sets in our hearts and our lives. And we start getting more duped and more duped. There was no humility in this good prodigal. There was no humility in him. Without me, who knows where you'd be today? There was no humility. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 7, the Bible says here, let's go over here to 1 Chronicles chapter number 7. And the Bible says here, and I hear people say, oh, 1 Chronicles 7:14. And I hear Christians, oh, we need this. Oh, we need this. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles. I have written down here the wrong reference. I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And the Bible says here, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Turn from my wicked ways? What? I go to church. I read my Bible. I'm giving my tithes and offerings. I put my time in for yourself, not for God. He's waiting for us to serve him with a whole heart. Nothing held back. He says here, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, all these things that are going on around us in this world could be healed. Our streets could be healed. Houses, homes, broken homes could be mended. Lives could be changed for eternity. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. I think the reason why we're not seeing so much revival and change so much is because we've got too many good prodigals out there. Maybe you're a good prodigal here. Maybe you've been duped into thinking, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and God owes me. And you know, that's what the devil's going to tell you every day. God owes you for that. God owes you for that. God owes you for that. You know, you need to tell him, no, I was bought with a price. I owe him. I owe him. Because all the money in the world can't save my soul, but Jesus saved my soul. I owe him. And I'm just glad my name's written down in the book of life, and I'm going to serve the Lord and just be happy and glad and go knocking doors and telling people about the one who died for me. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us today.